Again, it is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to chat with Lily, Is That You? Over Zoom video. Lily was born and raised in Toronto, Canada, and she talks about how she got into music. She went to see a festival at 15 years old, and that was it for her. That changed her life. She wanted to be a singer, an artist. So when she came home from that, her dad is a musician. So he hooked her up with a mic and an audio interface. And from there on, she just started to write and record her own songs. She talks about the major success of the song FMRN that she put out on TikTok. And the video had like 1.4 million plays in one day. TikTok ends up pulling the video. So we talk about how that happened, how she ended up getting it back up on TikTok right before the song premiered. And now it's got nearly 30 million streams on Spotify alone. She talks to us about that, getting signed to Warner Records, and all about her brand new song called Party 22. You can watch our interview with Lily on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be awesome if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're an Amazon shopper, a portion of your everyday purchases will help support our podcast with just a few clicks. It's super easy. Please head over to our website, bringingitbackwards.com, and click on Amazon each time you begin your purchases. Those few extra clicks will help keep our mission of providing a platform for both legendary and rising artists to tell their personal stories on how they achieve stardom so that all artists and music enthusiasts have access to meaningful and memorable advice that will help inspire their own musical journeys. To recap, please head over to bringingitbackwards.com and click on Amazon before you make each and every purchase, because a portion of that purchase will add up in a big way to help support our mission. Thank you so much.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Lily, Is That You? Well, Lily, thanks so much for doing this. This podcast is about you and your journey in music and how you got to where you are now. And we'll talk about, you know, the big signing to Warner Records and the most recent song and the one you have coming out soon as well.
Sounds good. Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Awesome. So born and raised in Toronto?
Born and raised downtown Toronto, city girl.
Wow. You grew up in the city, yes. Actually? Wow. What was it like doing that? I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that live in the outskirts, but not directly in the city.
I mean, I think I definitely got into a lot of trouble living in the city. Like, I think being downtown, like, there's so much accessibility to everything. I grew up like 20 minutes from the club district. So I feel like when I was a kid, it was like everyone in high school was like, we need a fake ID. Like, we need to go out. But I also think it did so much good for me in terms of like just like a mindset. Mm-hmm. I think it really just helped me understand like how many people there really are in the world. And like, I feel like at a really early age, I was like, oh, you know, I'm in a city of millions. Like, it's not just me and my family. Like, there's so many other people to consider. And I also think being in the city helped me because I got a job when I was like my first job when I was like 14. So I just
wow.
Worked in the service industry in Toronto and restaurants for like my whole teen years. So I'm grateful. I really like it here. I really do like it here.
That's awesome. You talked about going to clubs when you're in high school. What's the drinking or what's the age there? 18, 19?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So not many high schoolers were able to get into a club.
Fun. Like, you know, I feel like it's the same everywhere. Like people, girls find a way.
Figure it out. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
How did you get into music?
I mean, every time I'm asked that question, it's difficult to pinpoint like one time when it started, but you know, there's always these stories and home videos of me as a kid just performing around our house and just making up songs. My dad was a musician. There's like a lot of creatives in my family on my dad's side. My mom was an actress. It didn't really work out for either of them. Mm-hmm. Well, like my dad still does like some composition and stuff, but I think like my parents really just encouraged arts in us and just wanted us to be entertained. So if that meant me singing in the mirror for 6 hours and not bothering them, then that was good. And then around the age of 13, my mom was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I was like just becoming a person and really developing a sense of self. And we were doing like a poetry unit in school, and I remember it being like this really clear thing to me that the way to get through it and the way to get through my emotions about kind of what my mom was going through and the effect it was having on me and my siblings was like write about it. And then I went to my first big festival when I was like 15 or something like that, and then I really started writing a lot, a lot, a lot. So I feel like I've been making music my whole life, but I think I really started to take it seriously around 15, and now I'm 21, so here we are.
Was there a particular artist you saw at the festival that, made it so you were like, oh, I really want to do that?
To tell you the truth, I couldn't tell you who was even at the festival. It was also of a really low time in my life. Yeah, it was, I don't really know. I just remember being so entranced by like live music and the feeling of being in like a crowd of 100,000 people and everyone being there to kind of pay homage to someone. I thought it was really cool. But I think definitely like I've always felt like listening to Frank Ocean, listening to The Weeknd, Tove Lo were like artists that made me really wanna build my own world, because I feel like to me they stand out as really like building more than just music. It's like this visual landscape for fans to kind of sink into.
Okay. And what was the first instrument you learned how to play? Or do you play an instrument?
Sister, I do not know how to play a single. No. It's just singing and writing for me, but I'm really good
Okay.
at those, so I'm gonna stick with that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Would you just come up with melodies and just sing around your own lyrics? Like, how did you start?
I'm a SoundCloud kid, so I grew up listening to just lo-fi jazz beats on SoundCloud, and that's kind of how I did it. I just always wrote that way from like 15 till this summer when Ephemeran happened, and then I did like my first real writing trips. Was the first time that like my process shifted away from me writing in isolation to writing with others and working on the spot. But yeah, a lot of jazz influence, jazz, hip hop, all the way was my was
Would you just find like lo-fi beats and write top lines over them? Like, how did you start writing songs?
part. Yeah, I would just find like 2, 3 minute beats, and then I had a mic set up in my room that I'd asked for the same year I went to the festival. I was like, Dad, I need a mic, I need an interface. And he gave me like his old AKG and like an old interface, and so I would just like rip the beats off SoundCloud and then just kind of like freestyle for like a few hours, and then I would take the pieces that I like and try and build them into bigger songs. But again, I think only in the past like year or 2 years did I really understand song structure. Like I think before I kind of came at it more from like a poetry sense. Like I didn't really have a pre-hook or I didn't have a chorus. It would just be almost like these long like interludes. Since then I've definitely changed that's my style a lot and really understood the reason why there's so much structure to modern music.
Was the first time you kind of grasped that was when you put out FMRN?
No, I would say
Okay.
the first time I grasped that was when I started working with Marvin, which was in November of 2020.
Okay.
I put out a song in November of 2020 called Heaven or Hell with my boyfriend Caleb, who also produced FMRN. So we put out the song. It was my first DSP release. It was so serious. I'm like on SubmitHub submitting it. And then Marvin, who was an A&R at Universal Canada at the time, reached out to me. And just, I don't know, he was like, I really believe in your voice and I think like your song structure needs work. So he started putting me in sessions with like friends of his, colleagues, just like producers and people in the publishing world that he knew. And I did Zoom sessions once a week from, I would say, November to May. I did about a Zoom session a week. And that is when I learned how. That's, I think, when I really got song structure. And then my first in-person session after that, like stretch of Zoom, was the day I made FMRN. So I did the November to May in Zoom. And like Caleb and I obviously had still been like having fun making music, but like the first like session in a studio outside of like our home studios, we made FMRN. So yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that first song that you put out, it just happened. Did it do really well? Like, how did Marvin find you? Like,
So because of Submit Hub, I had put it on, I had gotten featured on this playlist called Discover New, which is like an underground playlist in the UK based in London. And as an A&R, you know, you probably have all those great Spotify. So he, I guess, had frequented that one. And then I was on there and he reached out to me through Instagram. And yeah, we just like connected pretty well. Like, I think right off the bat, it was like the first time someone had dreamed as big as me for me. Like, I think always I was like fighting my parents or like fighting school. And like, I was getting my BA last year. Like, I was in at the University of Toronto. And, you know, I think I was just fighting so many people on like, no, I'm going to go for this. I need to go for this. And like, Marvin was the first person to be like, yeah, you should, and you're going to get there. So yeah.
Wow. That's exciting. That must've been a huge validating moment, I would imagine, getting the message from him saying, hey, I believe in what you're doing. I work for a major company.
It was definitely intimidating. It was definitely like, I remember like screenshotting it and sending it to Caleb being like, do I reply to this? He's like, you should definitely reply. Cause I think I'm just terrified of my DMs like every other person. But yeah, that was definitely a validating moment, but I think like, it's been more validating to like have worked with Marvin over this time and then things to actually like, you know, our work has come to fruition and it's manifested into real things, real numbers. And it's cool. It's really cool.
That is really, really cool. So with FMRN, that was the first song you said you wrote in person. Were these Zoom sessions happening because the pandemic had hit already or?
Yeah, the pandemic had hit already and Toronto was very heavy lockdown. So yeah, was just doing Zoom.
Did that help your writing or how do you feel?
Okay. Up until that, sorry if I keep interrupting you also, I've never done.
No.
So I'm like, but yeah, so I had never really written with other people until November 2020. I was just always like in isolation, kind of like writing my own music. And then it was the first time I like collaborated with people that had like, you know, had some real streams or had a real artist profile, like had, you know, had somewhat of a name like in the industry. Mm-hmm. I think like I was really able to learn from that experience. And like, you know, I think at the beginning too, I was so excited about every single session Marvin told me about, because I was like, oh my God, this is a real thing. This is a real thing. And I'd been working at it by myself for like 4 years, like wanting to be an artist, like just, you know, I'm living such a different life as an artist than I was like when it really was just me. Like, I think having a team has like changed everything in terms of just growing with songwriting too, because like you have people to be honest with you and say, you can do better than this, or this is really special about this song and you should change the rest of it. And, you know, I think it's been a good change for me to have Marvin to like bounce off so much music with. And yeah, we're a great team.
Yeah. Was it hard to be vulnerable on those Zoom writing sessions? I mean, without working with anyone before, and then now they're going to throw you in these sessions and you're not even in the room. It's like over a computer.
I have always been really open. I don't know where in my past it comes from, but I have almost found it more difficult to kind of conceal these deep truths about myself than to share them, because I think when it comes to my art, like the most important thing that comes through to me is like that it really is who I am and it sounds like who I am, and that's brutally honest and empowering and confident. And I think like if I'm afraid to talk about my past, even in my first day meeting someone, then the song isn't really going to be a good reflection of me. And that's kind of what it's all about for me. Like, I'm so involved in the writing. Like, the writing is like my favorite part of it almost, that it's like, I just can't really separate myself from like what my story really is. So yeah, I feel like when it's in person, it's honestly harder.
Yeah. I mean, in your first in-person session, you write a song like FMRN, which is like probably the most vulnerable thing you could probably do. I mean, to go in there and just be like, here you go.
You just wait. But no, I mean, that was
just wait.
Yeah, that was just me and Caleb though. So I feel like we had already built this relationship and we already had like an intimate, you know, kind of connection in terms of creating music, but it was the day it happened, it was like me and Caleb in the studio with like 10 other people, and they were like, okay, you guys make the song, we're gonna go over here. It was like this big kind of creative hub in the bottom of an abandoned medical center, but like an old medical center. So it was like this really eerie studio. Mm-hmm. And Caleb and I worked for like 2-3 hours, made the song, and then I go back, Marvin was there, and I go out, I'm like, hey Marvin, like, we're done, like, if you want to come here. And then all of them stand up and start like marching into the room, and this is like, we had made the song, like, we'd finished it like 20 minutes ago, and I'm in there thinking like, oh my god, it was all guys. I'm like, they're all about to just hear the song, like, well, like, whatever happens happens. And they had like a little mini golf putt in the room, so I just remember like playing it to all of them, and I didn't want to make eye contact with anybody, so I was just like playing mini putt as the song was playing. Oh, what a good time that day. So every time I think about it, I'm like so overwhelmed with joy because it's just changed so much for me. So
mm-hmm. And you put the song up on TikTok and it what goes crazy.
Yeah, I did put the song up on TikTok the next day at like 7:30, and then mm-hmm. got drunk with Caleb and my friends, and then I looked at it at like 10, and it was at like 3,000 views, and me and Caleb were like, woo, like 3,000 views, oh my god. And we like did a shot, and then mm-hmm. like more, and then at 2 a.m. I looked at it and it was at 27,000 views, and at this point I was back at Caleb's and I was like, babe, like, you gotta come in here, like, look at all these comments, like, look at this, oh my god. And it was so late, and I'm like drunk texting Marvin being like, I swear it's going viral. And then I woke up, totally forgot, so hungover. I look at my phone and I have all these messages from Marvin being like, go look at the video, look who commented, look at this. And it was at like 125,000 or something. And then it climbed to 1.7 million views. And then,
oh, man.
Then it got deleted. And yeah, so that was like the first day. God, it was crazy.
It climbed against 1.4 million views, and then TikTok pulled the song?
Yeah, they removed the video, but obviously it's not like, you know, as I've looked back on the situation and created really good relationships with the TikTok team in Canada, I know that it's not like some gatekeeper sitting at the top being like, this needs to go down, like women
okay.
should. It's more like an AI that's built to like censor sexually confident women. And like, I don't judge the platform. I don't judge the app. Like, it's just society. Like, it's not one big corporation to look at, like, it's kind of all of them and human history, so it is what it is. And I also think like one thing that's so special about being Gen Z is that like we are so quick to rally around something. We're so quick to be like, I'm gonna fight for this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna fight for this artist, I'm gonna fight for whatever it is. So I think having the video removed, like, initially it stung and I was like, oh shit, like, this is over, you know, this almost changed my life. And then it didn't, but then I saw people were still using the sound and making videos with the sound and commenting and demanding that it be reposted. And it eventually the video was put back up the day before the song came out. So it all happened.
Oh, wow. So they put it back up for you.
Yeah, they ended up putting it back up the day before the song was released. But yeah, if the song hadn't gotten taken down, I think the whole trajectory of everything would have been different. And I'm happy that it happened the way that it did, because I think it kind of allowed me to understand it in a whole different way. Like, I think when I wrote it, it wasn't to be a feminist or to be an activist or to talk about sexual positivity. It was just like, this is who I am and I am horny, like, I'm gonna talk about it. And I think like having it removed reminded me what a real issue this is, and it just kind of gave me this whole other understanding of the song that I don't think I would have had if it had just still been this like happy-go-lucky, like, oh my god, the song's going viral. And like, yeah, so I also got an interview with Rolling Stone because the video got removed. So I'm like, that would have never happened. So I'm like, woohoo. I also love TikTok so much. Like, the TikTok Canada team and Marvin and I have built like a really good relationship. And I also don't really think that would be there if it wasn't for the video getting removed. So I wouldn't change anything.
Mm-hmm. It probably drew more people to you. Like, oh, did you hear this girl's video got banned on TikTok? And, you know,
people are always like, what's the drama? So, yeah.
So obviously, like, when the video actually came out and the song was released properly, it, all those people from TikTok came back over onto Spotify and to the, all the DSPs and were listening to the song as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that must have been pretty cool. I mean, felt special, right?
I mean, dude, like the Ephemeron did 170,000 streams on its first day on Spotify versus like Heaven or Hell, that first song did like 40 in like a few months. Mm-hmm. So I just remember like Spotify updating for the first time and showing me that number. I was like just floored. I just didn't even know what to feel or what to think. And, you know, I was just on such a, I don't know. I look at the videos, like the TikToks and the trends that I was making in July after I'd released the video. And like, I look at myself and I am just glowing in every single one. I'm like, you know, this dream, this thing that I've been chasing and crying and sweating and bleeding over for years was like actually coming alive. And, you mm-hmm. know, I just look back on it. It was such like a, it was crazy because there was so much to do every day. And like, it was just, you know, it's such a hectic and chaotic time, but like it was also just like glorious. Like it was wonderful to see and have so much validation from like from something that I was really, really proud of. So yeah,
that is amazing. And did that, like having the success on that first song come out and, you know, people are really interested, was it a thought in your mind like, oh, now I got to follow this up?
Yes. Yes.
How did you deal with that?
I don't know. I'm still dealing with it. No, not really. I mean, I think that I've made songs that I love a lot more than Ephemeron. I think I've made so much music that I think deserves a spot right next to Ephemeron in my popular songs on Spotify. I don't look at it as this is like, it was my peak. You know, I'm grateful mm-hmm. that started out with such a bang, but I think I'm so much more excited about what's to come because I think it just gets deeper and louder and more explosive and more catchy. And I'm just like kind of ready to see the next thing that fans really, really connect with. And maybe it'll be Party 22. Like I believe in it, you know? But it is surreal having like your first real song go viral. Mm-hmm. And trying to follow that up is like, you know, with Ephemeron, like the trend was built. Like when the song came out, it was already rolling on TikTok. It was already happening versus like Party 22, like didn't start with a viral moment. It's about me building it and showing fans what I want them to do with the sound. And, you know, I think that that's been a whole different experience for me, but I also think it's like taught me a lot more patience and like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, I'm happy with the way that everything is going. I think like I just wouldn't change anything. So.
Well, even Party 22 is doing awesome. I mean, on the Spotify numbers still, you have over 250,000 plays.
What a banger. I know. Honestly, that song, Party 22 is such, I love the song and I think it's hilarious because I think it's just a pop anthem. Like when I hear it, I'm just like, such a good pop song. Like, and I think people underestimate like how hard it is to really make like a great pop song. And I don't know, I think that there's something really me about it, especially in the verses. Like I had so much fun writing it with Kennedy and like I don't know, I'm really proud of it too. But I also want to put it out there that if any of my exes are watching this, it's not about you or listening to this. It's not about you. I don't have a good for nothing worthless ex. It was just like the right line. And I felt like people would really connect with that. I know there's plenty of people in my life with good for nothing worthless exes, but personally I'm on good terms with everybody. So
that's good. That's good. Where does Warner Brothers come in the play?
Yeah, I signed with Warner Records in, I think on September 1st, So we released Ephemeron on July 2nd and then spent the month in Toronto filming video of the video and like promoting the song. And then in August, we were flown out to New York and then to LA and then to Miami. And we met with every North American label except for Def Jam. And at the end of it all, Warner was just like the one. So I had a lot of experience dealing and doing all the label wine and dines, but I don't know, just I'm really happy that I ended up with Warner because I feel like they really believe in me. Like I feel so seen and their whole team. And I don't know, I have a great team there. Like, I think everybody on my team's a powerhouse. Like, I think it's a bit intimidating, like Warner Brothers, you know, like you watch Harry Potter, like Warner Brothers is starts the fucking movie. Like, it's pretty it's crazy.
Uh-huh.
And it's intimidating, such an iconic label. Like, I was unsure about what the process was going to be like. And I think that there's this, like, definitely this connotation with, like, major labels consuming, mm-hmm. like, smaller indie artists and, like, eating them up and taking away what's special about them. And I have to admit that I was afraid of that, even if it was a different label. Like, it's something that I was afraid of. And now I'm like, this is so much better than, like, I ever thought it could be. Like, I really feel seen and I really feel excited. And I feel like it's up to me still. Like, it's still in my hands what I want to chase after and what I want to present and who I want to be and what I want to talk about. And I think, like, that also comes from me starting out my relationships with everyone with the same honesty I do in sessions. Like, you know, just talking a lot about, like, the shitty parts of my past and the things that I really want to stand on, like the pillars I really want to stand on as an artist. So I don't know. I'm really excited about mm-hmm. more. And, like, my team just kick ass. Everyone's such a powerhouse.
That's so cool. It's cool to hear that you say you feel like you're seen, because I could imagine being on a label like Warner where there's so many massive artists, and then to be a new signing and have people still, you know, yeah. pay attention to what you're doing and help look out for you. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, no, it is really cool. And I'm excited to just make them proud, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm excited to have another FMRN and just, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm nothing but optimistic in terms of, like, the future of my music, because I just feel like I keep growing as an artist and as a human being, and I like the songs more and more and keep making stuff that I like. And I don't know. I just think I'm so lucky to be here. Like, I have to, like, relish in all of it and be happy and be excited, because, like, there's no other way. I don't know. Because it is a lot of work too.
You know? Oh yeah.
I cry every day still, but, like, it's fine. It's about good, important things. I'm following my dreams, so mm-hmm. I should cry.
But, you yeah. talked about having another song coming out. Do you have a full body of work ready to go, or tell me about the other songs you have?
Yeah, so I'm releasing a song in January called Purity. It is mm-hmm. a anti-slut shaming anthem. To me, like, the lyrics really follow FMRN in a beautiful way. And I made this one in August with Simon Wilcox and Joe Janiak in LA. And this song's a hard hitter. This song to me is so powerful. I'm so excited. And then I have another song coming out in February called Moderation. And mm-hmm. this song talks a lot more about my past. I used to be an addict when I was 14 to when I was 17. I was really sick. And I'm better now.
That's good. You
know, have fun here and there, but, like, I've definitely learned the lesson of everything in moderation. And that's kind of the whole message of the song, is that, like, anything to the extreme is going to hurt you in the end. Like, whether, you know, you're too extreme with drugs and too extreme with alcohol and sex and social media, like, that's draining and it makes you a shell of yourself. But so does, like, isolation and not having any fun and putting these, like, I guess, unrealistic pressures and standards on yourself to be this perfect person is, I think, like, just as toxic, like, maybe not to your physical health as mm-hmm. the, but, like, your mental. And this song is just, like, about finding that balance and like understanding moderation. And I think, like, that's a message that I definitely want to send to, like, my audience of, like, young women, is that, like, there is a balance to it. Cause I just want to say to them what I needed to hear. Something like, you know, my mom told me when I was young, everything in moderation. I was like, screw you, mom. Yeah. But if, you know, some hot icon was telling me, I'd be like, okay, queen.
right. Exactly. You want to be kind of a role model for sure. Other women growing, you know, going sure. through the same thing.
Definitely what it's all about. Like, being a brutally honest role model is success to me. So
I love that. What about playing live shows?
You know, we had to talk about it today. There's definitely going to be shows in 2022. I have an upcoming January but there's definitely shows in, but it's a secret, the January
okay.
one.
Okay. Be quiet.
But, sorry, Marvin. but yeah, there's definitely going to be shows in 2022. My live set is blue and it's melting. And if it goes my way, everybody will leave covered in glitter and it'll be a mess. It'll be a hot mess, my show. I'm so excited.
I love it. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to be there, man. It's definitely what I've always visualized the most. It's like the performance aspect. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to leave it all out there for them.
Awesome. Awesome. So you got two more coming out and you have FMRN and Party 22 that are out now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, you asked me if I have like a body of work. I would say I probably have like 60 songs from the
past. Wow.
Yeah, brother. Like there's so much music and I feel like 40 of those, I could be like, yeah, this could come out. Like there's so, if they were like touched up, obviously, but mm-hmm. you know, there's so much good music. So I definitely don't feel like there's going to be a shortage of content in 2022. I think it's going to be the opposite. And I'm so excited.
So, yeah. Amazing. Amazing. I cannot wait to hear and see the show and everything else that's coming out with you. And I appreciate you being here, Lily. This has been awesome.
Dude, it's totally my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I have one quick question for you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Oh man, just keep going. Just keep going and make sure that you like it. It doesn't matter what your friend thinks or your boyfriend thinks or your mom thinks or TikTok thinks. Like, you need to love it, because if you can't believe in it, nobody else is going to. So you need to put everything you have and everything you've been through and into it. And whatever that means for you, just keep going. Just keep chasing it. So that would be my advice.